The following program has been pre-recorded. The views expressed by the participants are not necessarily those of WHFR Radio or Henry Ford College. Welcome to We Are Not Alone, where local investigators, as well as world-renowned scientists and ufologists, share their latest evidence in support of the UFO reality. I'm David Twitchell, and you are listening to WHFR Dearborn. WHFR.fm is the station making waves, and for the next hour, we will be exploring the mysteries of the UFO and abduction phenomena. And our guest today is Cheryl Lynn Carter. Cheryl is a freelance journalist and for publications such as Paranormal Underground Magazine, an international author of multiple paranormal and thriller books. She always has had the gift as a psychic medium. Having her first paranormal experience at age 4, she thought everyone else could do the same. Communicating with the departed was simply a way of life for her. Cheryl has been a paranormal and historical researcher for the past 20 years. She continues her life's journey as a psychic medium and remote viewer. Cheryl is a UFO experiencer, a member of MUFON and CE5. She's served as a consultant for Thomas Cornwell's book, They Are Here, Central U.S. UFOs. Her books include Fear of Darkness, Edge of Darkness, Whispers Beyond the Grave, and Dimensions, Mysterious Triangles of the U.S. She has appeared on numerous radio shows, including Darkness Radio and Haunted Chronicles. And I'm happy that she's added We Are Not Alone to the mix. And welcome to the show, Cheryl.
Hi, glad to be here.
Glad to have you. I really was interested in your book, Dimensions. We have been talking lately on this show about UFOs. Are they physical? Are they from another planet? Are they interdimensional? Are they spiritual? Or all of the above? Give us your take on that, Cheryl.
Well, that is a good question because, I mean, there are probably people from different planets. Mm-hmm. Maybe some are already living here with us.
Okay.
You know? So we can't say that it's exactly one thing.
Right.
But I'm sure that from what I've been researching for my book that they've been here. Whether they're still here or not, they have been here. There's just so many signs around the world.
Right. Well, how old were you when you first had your first ET contact?
That was just probably 6 years ago.
First contact.
Yeah.
Oh.
Mine was all, you know, it was paranormal all my life. But, you know, this just started lately.
I see.
Yeah.
Well, let's go back then to, how old were you? As I mentioned it, just a child when you started seeing spirits or hearing spirits. Is that it?
Seeing them, hearing them, and, you know, and when you're a little kid, you don't know what's going on.
Right.
And, you know, this was before there were television shows and all this stuff. So, you know, you don't know am I crazy? You know, the other kids aren't seeing this stuff. Maybe I better not talk about it. You know, they don't want to play with me. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
And even when I was in high school, you were the weird kid if you talked about this stuff.
Right. Was it a constant?
Now,
thing?
Oh, always. I can't never turn it off. And it's funny now. Some of the people I went to high school with didn't want to talk to me. They think I'm a cool person now. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, they've grown up too, huh?
This is interesting. Well, this was interesting in high school, but you didn't want to talk to me about it before.
Right, right. Oh, well. So,
yeah.
So you're a psychic medium.
Uh-huh.
You can't turn it off. You know, I've talked to Matt Fraser. You know who Matt Fraser is?
Yes.
He's psychic medium. And he says he can pretty much turn it off when he wants to. I don't know how true that is, if he just kind of ignores them, like he's got a crowd of people in the room, and he just ignores them, go away, and they don't, but he just ignores them. Is that the way it is for you?
I found out you have to make rules.
Okay.
Because they love to talk to you when you're sleeping. Because, they don't sleep anymore. So they would wake me up at 3 o'clock in the morning to tell me things. Stuff. So I had to make a rule. I'm going to bed. You can't come into the bedroom. I'll talk to you when I wake up. Mm. You know, or they love to talk to me when I'm driving. I go, excuse me, I'm driving now. Can we talk when we stop someplace? You got to make rules. It's not exactly turning it off. You're just making some rules.
Okay. Do they?
Because they will talk to you 24/7. You know. They,
yeah. Do they follow those rules?
Yeah, they are.
They do.
You know, as long as you're talking nice to the spirits, they understand.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I guess it's just like if a person was in the room, but you do have rude people who say, "Hey, I've got it. I can talk to you anytime I want." You know.
What are you going to do? There's always that one spirit that says, "No, I'm going to tell you something right now." So okay. I mean, yeah. There's always that one. If you're rude in life, you're going to be rude when you're a spirit.
There you go. What you need, Cheryl, is some spirit bouncers. You know. Tell them, get this guy out of here. Maybe that's
like if I'm gonna go investigate somewhere, even if I'm going to an event someplace, somebody always starts talking to me before I go there.
Mm.
Like there might be a spirit where I'm investigating that they want to talk to me, but two or three days before, they already start talking to me before I get there because they know I'm coming. That's very interesting.
Mm.
Or I might go somewhere and I'll have a message to give someone that's there.
Okay.
Quite interesting how they know that you're going someplace.
When you have, do you go to meetings or get-togethers like Matt Fraser does, and pick people out of the audience and tell them things about their deceased loved ones, or what?
I don't do group readings like that. I actually work with a group called Project Psi, and we work on missing person cases. That's what I like to do with my abilities is work on missing person cases, Amber Alerts, things like that. That's what I like to work on.
What is your success rate for, let's say, Amber Alerts?
We're very good, and since we've been together 3 years, we have brought home 100 kids. So
good for you.
That's a pretty good record.
Good
yeah.
for you.
It's a team effort. It's not just me. There's six of us, but it's a team effort. But yeah.
And what about how many of those missing children have been abducted? As opposed to
there's been a lot. That's it. There's been a lot. We've found human trafficking cases.
Oh my!
All kinds of. Oh yeah, yeah. You know that's why you got to get on stuff right away.
So what happens to? Are you able to pinpoint the culprit?
Sometimes, like we do something called remote viewing, where you can put yourself to the location and you know see what the surroundings are. And I actually have a software that the police use. It's called Faces, and I can draw a picture of somebody and I'll send it to the boss. You know, and he gets it to the police.
Mm.
I like doing that. That's great when I can get a picture of this person.
Yeah, and so have there been apprehensions?
Sometimes they're actually, you know, the person got killed, but they found the killer because we had a picture.
Good. That's good. That's great.
Yeah.
You know, you got to put that out there that to the general public so that these would-be killers and traffickers can see that there is a group that's gonna find you. It's not over and above the police. You don't need physical evidence. You'll find that physical evidence once they're...
We direct them there, yeah.
Once exactly. You direct them there. And they should know that. And maybe they'll think twice before they do something that terrible. What do you think?
I wish more people that had abilities would help out. You see people on Facebook all the time, you know, this person's missing, this person's missing. Well, somebody read the picture and find it. There's other people out there that can do this too.
Yeah, but I saw this thing. I don't know what show it was on, 60 Minutes, 2020. I think it was 2020. This guy had this out-of-body experience while he was in bed, and it was a woman down the street from him. Somebody had broke in, or boyfriend, whatever it was. He murdered her. And this guy found himself out of body right there at the murder scene. And so he thought, I've got to tell somebody. He went to the police. He gave them information that only the murderer would have known. Incidental details, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, they said, you must be the murderer. He went to prison over that.
That's what you got to be afraid of. You know, when I have too much information, I'm going to say, how did you know that?
How did you know that? Yeah. You must.
Yeah, that's one thing, yeah.
You must have been there, yeah. Ugh.
or sometimes we go to the police and they won't listen because they don't believe in psychics.
Right, you know, right.
So that's another downfall.
Right, but the police that you work with are believers, right?
We don't work with the police. We get information. We call them in different states and stuff, you know. So if we worked with them, that'd be different because then they'd be listening to us.
Yeah.
Like the case of the last missing girl we had, they wouldn't listen to us.
They wouldn't.
I even had a picture of the guy. Yeah, so we didn't bring her home alive because they wouldn't listen.
Did you let them know that after the fact?
I wish I could. Because the picture... I knew she was close to home, and the picture of the guy, he lived in an apartment complex not too far. Now, they would have put that picture up. People would have said, I know this guy. That really upset me that there it was. Somebody could have found this guy, because when I drew that picture, I know she was still alive.
Right.
But she didn't end up that way, and then he committed suicide after he did it, but it's just that he killed her, too.
And how do you know that he committed suicide? Is that psychically? Or
we saw the news. We saw the news.
Saw it on the news. Killed himself.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I guess the authorities believed you then, huh?
I don't know. I never talked to anybody. It just upset me that we could have brought her back before that happened.
So what do you do then if you don't go right to the police and say, I've got this information for you that I garnered psychically? How do you help the police or the authorities in finding these people?
Well, that's all that we do is we go to the police. You know, there's nothing else you can do about it.
You do go to the police.
You can't go to family members and say stuff. You know,
no,
that would be kind of. Yeah. I wish I could just do that. I could have bypassed something there. But yeah.
Do you ever find that family members in situations like that come to you and say, I need your help. I know you're psychic. Can you help me here?
Well, I've had some people come to me, yes.
Very good. Was that successful?
Yes.
Good.
Glad yeah, it was actually people on Facebook. Oh, my granddaughter's missing and, you know, and there was a little boy that wandered away one time. This wasn't successful, but that was on Facebook again, and I says he's, they're at like some kind of big park, there was some kind of outing, and I said, he's laying down in the water, and she goes, no, they searched the area. I says, well, they missed it, because he's laying down in the water, and the next day they found him exactly where I sat, you know.
Wow. What a shame. But at least they found him, you know. Do you do this, can you do this over the phone? Do you take any phone calls and give readings?
I could.
Yeah.
I could, yeah.
But do you do it?
Not usually. I don't do readings per se. I just like to work on the missing person.
Yeah.
Or when I go investigating, you know, there's spirits that are still hanging around a location and they just want somebody to hear their story before they can move on. You know, I do stuff like that.
Right. You direct them to the light, so to speak.
Well, you can't make somebody go to the light, but they finally have a resolution and they can leave. Like they might want to tell you how somebody killed them.
Yeah.
You know, how they died. And as long as you heard them, now they're happy. Now they can move on. But they didn't want to go until they could do that. And I can't see having people stuck there.
That's right. That's right. Very good. Well, back to the ET contact. When was that? When did that begin? Your age?
I was actually, I said like 6 years ago.
About 6 years
ago? I was actually in downtown Royal Oak.
Hmm.
And I looked up in the sky and I go, whoa, there it was. There was a craft up in the sky.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you saw the craft. Then what happened? Were you abducted then?
I wasn't abducted, but everything kind of stood still for a while. I mean, I don't know what happened. I can't tell you what happened.
Yeah. I had that experience when I was a kid, my whole family, where this craft was above us, and everything stood still. It was like you were in a time warp. Just,
right.
You know, different time zones from the craft and you. And the rest of the world. Was that what it was like for you?
Yeah, because I'm going, can anybody else see this? And why isn't anything moving? Why are we like stopped? It was a weird feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll bet. Yeah, and there's, let's see. Oh, I'm not going to be able to tell you the whole story, but Bud Hopkins in Witnessed talked about this gal that... main star of the story, forget her name too, but at any rate, when she was a little girl, she was at the beach and she was changing into her swimsuit, and this man opens the door and takes her by the hand, takes her out of there and walks her to a craft, and as she's walking, she looks around and everybody is frozen in time. And kids in the pool are splashing, the water's up in the air, but it's not coming down. You know, it's like moving through a still photo. So
right, exactly.
That's exactly what it was, huh? Wow. So 6 years ago, and that's that was just. Did you have any hypnotherapy to? Recall whether or not you were abducted?
No, I never thought of that, no.
Would you consider that?
Oh, maybe, I don't know. Do I want to know? I don't know.
Yeah, I hear you. My sister was hypnotized, and I was present there, and she saw her and I both being taken into the craft.
Hello.
Yeah, so... people say to me, I say, well, I guess I was, that sighting experience was more than just a sighting.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, why don't you go get hypnotized and find out what happened? I don't want to.
Right, exactly.
Just the way it is. I don't want to.
What's the point, right?
Yeah. So do you have any other conscious recall of any other contacts?
No, I mean, I've just seen a lot of things. I don't have the time standing still, but I've seen lots of strange things that I can't explain.
Yeah, such
Especially
as.
when we were doing our CE5 events. We've done in Brighton. We've done it a few times, and something we get in a circle, and it's like 12 of us get in a circle, and we'll meditate, and we do singing bowls, and there's woods behind us, and something always appears in the woods. Now, I am not saying it's ET. I don't know what it is, but I've been in the woods in the daytime, and I don't see anything in the woods, but something comes out when we do that, and I've got some crazy pictures. Like one time there were, all of a sudden it was like somebody turned on two flashlights right in the middle of the woods. But they had to be really like basketball size because we were far away and they were pretty big. And they started moving back and forth, changing places, and then the one started stretching up and down almost like it was swaying to the music of the singing bowls. Then it would go back into the circle. And I watched it for like 20 minutes, and then all of a sudden it's like somebody just turned the flashlights off. Now, I don't know what that was. It was very weird. And another time, the last time I saw another ball of light, and I took a picture of it, and I just thought it was light till I went home and put it on my computer, and I kid you not, it looks like a little baby alien.
Really?
I can't say that's what it is, but it was glowing, whatever it was. Yeah, I've shown it to people, and I swear that's what it looks like.
You should send that in to Paranormal Caught on Camera. You see that show?
Yeah.
Yeah? You should. I need to take a moment here just to remind our listeners that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. It's 89.3. And you're listening to We Are Not Alone. I'm David Twitchell, and we're speaking with researcher and author and psychic, Cheryl Lynn Carter. So, Cheryl, I wanted to talk to you about your book, Dimensions. Tell us about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I noticed that there were many strange triangles around the United States. You know, the Bermuda Triangle gets all the glory, and we got all kinds of them around the United States, too. So I picked 12 of them, and I started doing research on them, and I made a book about all the mysterious things that happened.
Mm. We got triangles in Michigan, too.
Oops. Yes, we have the Lake Michigan Triangle.
Lake Michigan.
Yes, we do.
And
yes, we do.
Lake Michigan, isn't that? But is there one at Lake Superior?
Yeah, there's one up there. I didn't put that in the book, but I got the Lake Michigan one. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, there's many of them I haven't done. There's a lot more. I just chose 10 of them.
Right, right. Well, the Lake Superior one, that was where Lieutenant Felix Eugene Makla Jr., yeah, it was in 53, mm-hmm. Air Force pilot who disappeared while performing an air defense intercept over Lake Superior. Yeah, so did you study that one?
Yes, and in the Michigan Triangle in 1966, that's when they had the swamp gas incident, where all these people had seen all these lights, and they sent somebody from Project Blue Book over to check everything out, and
yeah,
Dr. Heineck was going to make his report, and then he got on the phone and talked to somebody, and when he came back, he says, yeah, it was just swamp gas. So they made him change his story.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah. I don't know, I've watched that Project Blue Book on the History Channel. And
it's entertaining, but it's not real true.
Yeah, yeah. The only thing that's true is at the end of the episode, they put a blurb in there that on such and such a date, so-and-so
like
experienced
that part.
So it's based on that. The
right.
show is based on that. But then they just go way, way out into left field.
Well, they never said this was a true story.
No.
I don't think they ever said that, you know.
but this will based on a true story. You wonder where the facts end and the fiction begins. Well, pretty much after the first scene, the fiction begins.
Yeah, they have. I mean, the names that they use are real names.
Yeah. Yeah.
The places are real places. That part is true.
Yeah. So, anyway, okay, back to your book, Dimensions. Tell us a few stories from, you know, from these triangles from your book.
Well, there's, which I didn't know, I'm from Illinois, and I never knew that we had a triangle in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the Little Egypt Triangle. It's the bottom part of Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a place down there called Cahokia, down by Collinsville, Illinois. It was a, what was it, from 10,000 A.D. It was from mound builders.
Okay.
And the interesting thing about it was that they believed that the place was, where are we here? They believed that the place was actually constructed because of a supernova that the natives saw up in the sky that occurred in 1006 A.D.
Hmm.
in the constellation Lupus of the Milky Way.
Hmm.
And the whole outlet of the town actually coincides with star patterns up in the sky.
Oh.
It's very...
That's kind of like the Egyptian
pyramids.
The pyramids. Okay, so that is also true in Illinois.
Yes, well, they one of the mounds is called Monk's Mound, and it is actually the same size as the Great Pyramid of Giza. It's very tall.
Really,
you can there's steps you can walk up to the top of it, which I did. I had to go to the top and. You could feel there's a vortex that goes all the way through it.
Mm. What do you mean you can feel it?
Have you ever felt a vortex? It's like a little...
No.
Okay.
Energy?
It's just like a little area. You might have about 12 inches of swirling energy. You could feel it if you put your hand in.
Ah.
And it goes all the way through that, down into the earth.
I would be afraid of sticking my hand in. For fear I'd end up in an alternative reality, you know?
No, it just kind of tickles. It's a clockwise.
Hmm.
It's just a strange feeling. It won't hurt you. I mean, there's vortexes all over the place. It's just a little weird place.
All right. Huh. So tell us about the Cahokia Mounds. Or is that the Cahokia Mounds?
Yeah, that is. And they have a, there's a stone called the Birdman.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found out is, you know, it's a picture, like some kind of a warrior, but it actually, if you line up all the points on his face and his bow and arrow and everything, it actually is the star pattern of Pleiades.
Hmm. So,
and all these mounds are actually lined up with summer solstice, winter solstice, the different phases of the sun and the moon.
Mm-hmm. And you're researching another book, Serpent Mounds in Ohio.
Mm-hmm. Serpent, yeah, I'm going to do earth energy, so it will be about ley lines and vortex.
Okay. Do you think the ley lines... are changing, have been changing around the world?
Well, sure, I think so, because it, even like all these places that, like, where the mounds were built and stuff, they were lined up at a certain pattern where the stars were, you know, and everything is moving. Everything's moving. So,
right.
Of course, the ley lines are moving too.
Right.
It's constant, you know, it's constant.
Is it the ley lines that are moving, or is it the fact that, the earth is in a different position from where it was?
Well, it does, because ley lines are just energy lines.
Right, right.
So, yeah, so when the earth changes position,
Would that account for some of these whales beaching themselves or birds flying south too early?
You know? It could be, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so what about other stories from your book, Dimensions? Other mounds?
Oh, how about, there's an Alaska Triangle.
Okay, tell us about that.
And there's been more people missing, more planes missing in Alaska and more ships than the Bermuda Triangle.
Okay.
You know, it doesn't compare. And something that they found, in 1992, China was conducting an underground nuclear test, you know, so that was as close, you know, to Alaska that way.
Mm.
And so they wanted to check to make sure that none of the they have a early warning system up there in White Alice. It's the radar system against the Soviets. And they wanted to make sure that this underground testing didn't hurt their warning system.
Right.
So when they went over and they're checking the ground, they're noticing that there was something under the ground that shouldn't be there. And so they did a lot of other research, and they uncovered some kind of underground structure 15 feet below the ground.
Really?
And it turns out to be some kind of underground pyramid. So they call this Project Dark Pyramid.
Hmm.
And this is also twice the size of the Pyramid of Giza.
Wow. Underground.
Now there are stories that this pyramid was built with alien technology and generates its own energy.
Mm. Well, that's rumored for all pyramids.
Yeah, but I mean this underground one. Crazy.
Wow. Underground. So,
and the Alaska Triangle is a vortex itself because it is right where two ley lines intersect.
Uh-huh. So now I'm picturing this great hole in the ground, shall we say, cavernous hole, and this very tall pyramid sitting in it. Do I have the right picture?
There's not a hole. It's in the ground. So you can't see it. They had to use penetrating radar to find us.
Okay.
It's not like you would walk around and go, you know, there's a hole there. There was, you know, it's not a hole that you could see.
Yeah. So, if there's this pyramid under the ground, is there any space around the pyramid, or is it just totally buried?
From the aerial views that I've seen on Google, it looks like there might be a little indentation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and how do we know, how do we get over there and measure it? I'm not sure how they went about doing all that.
Hmm. Well, that is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That is interesting.
You know, and what's its purpose? Why is it there? Right. We sure didn't build it.
Right, but they have indications, if not hard physical proof, indications that those pyramids, all the pyramids, are giving off some kind of energy.
Exactly.
And I don't know who's saying it. I don't know how true it is. But people are saying that one day all of them are going to turn on, so to speak. I think that's just a fear. What do you think? Start those rumors.
They're going to turn on. But from what I'm researching on the new book is all these, you know, famous sites, they're all located on ley lines.
Yeah,
they're all connected. Every one of them is connected to each other.
Well, how far apart is a ley line on the Earth?
I forgot. They all run around the equator.
Right, right.
North and south of the equator. I forgot how many miles it is around them.
No, but I mean
the major ones, the major ley lines, you know, and then there's smaller ones.
Okay, so what I'm saying is, they're not right up close together, a foot apart.
No.
So.
But they go around the equator.
Yeah.
So that all these things are connected. And it's like the people that built them knew they were supposed to build it on this energy grid here.
Okay.
I don't think it was an accident.
So there are also ley lines going north and south, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
As I said, there's many, but the major ones go around the equator.
All right, all right, all right. So where are these, at certain areas where these ley lines intersect, that's where you're going to find a pyramid, eh?
Most likely, or some kind of ancient structure, yeah.
Right, right. It seemed like back then somebody knew that, you know?
That's what I said. How, you know, did someone come here and teach us this, or did they live here and they left? Who knows?
Or did they
maybe
live?
Maybe they were here first.
Or did they live?
Maybe they were here first.
Yeah. Did they live here and stay? You know?
Yeah, exactly. As I said, they could be from different places. Exactly. We think they all come from one place. It could be different places.
Or are we them? Huh?
Yes.
Are we them? You know, we were talking about Matt Frazier. I met him on a cruise, and he was giving everybody a reading. And if you watch the Meet the Frazers, they're a crazy bunch of people, but he's a really nice guy, and his girlfriend is really cute. And she's nice, too, though. And at any rate, he denied having ever talked to someone in contact with an otherworldly being, like a ET or anything, or read an alien abductee. He says he's never read an alien abductee. So he's kind of on the fence about whether or not, you know, as to the UFO phenomenon. He's young.
Uh-huh.
I think he's 22, 23 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's in contact, what about you? Have you gotten any extraterrestrial vibes from anyone that you've read, or do you see the ET in spirit?
This is the thing about the paranormal. You know, we talk to spirits, but who are we really talking to?
Okay.
Are we talking to aliens sometimes? We don't know who we're talking to.
Do you ask them? Who are you?
They don't always tell you, because I was investigating somewhere in the Michigan here, and all of a sudden I kind of backed out of the room, and I don't know why I even thought this. I go, that's not from this world.
Hmm.
And I don't know why I thought that.
What is that?
I'm sure there was something alien right there that I was contacting.
Okay, spirit, right?
Yeah, and it was like talking, which I didn't notice at the time. It was like Morse code, you know, the ones and zeros.
Well, that would be
the sound.
Yeah, ones and zeros. That would be not Morse.
Yeah, the binary code.
Binary code.
Whatever it was. Yeah, whatever it was, it was communicating with me like that, and I didn't realize at the time.
Yeah.
And yeah, I've never had any other spirit communicate that way. They use words.
Yeah. You know,
so that was a weird experience.
What am I trying to say? The Rendlesham Forest case. I forget which one or which person it was, but got a mental impression of these ones and zeros, and he wrote it down. And later on, some analysts realized it was a binary code that made sense. Trying to tell us, you know, there's still a chance for we humans. So I should write that down and have it at hand. But that was the Rendlesham Forest case. And so
yes, because I think we you know, they're seen around nuclear plants all the time. I think they're warning us.
Oh yeah.
What are you doing? You're gonna blow yourself up, maybe.
Yeah.
You know.
And if they,
I don't think they're here to harm us. They're here to warn us about things.
And I think if we blow ourselves up, it will have a bad effect on other planets, maybe theirs.
Of course.
You know,
of course.
It's a domino effect.
Or maybe this happened to their planet, and that's why they're trying to warn us. Or maybe something happened here before. Look at, you know, all these places that we're discovering that were around, like Atlantis. You know, where did everything go? What happened?
Right, right.
I do believe there was an Atlantis. I do believe that they had all this technology.
Oh,
what
yeah.
happened? Did we blow something up a long time ago?
Yeah. Well, according to the sleeping prophet, Edgar Cayce,
mm-hmm.
He talked about Atlantis. They wrote a book on all the everything he said about Atlantis while under hypnosis, you know,
Mm-hmm.
And he said that there was an Atlantis. They had technologies beyond that of today. But
nice.
It was misused. It was misused. And they ended up getting this death ray that was supposed to shoot through the Earth. They couldn't go around the planet with this death ray. You know, it'd just go off into space. So they shot it down into the ground, hoping it would go right down into the ground, through the ground, and out the other side, and destroy their enemy, whatever. And when they did so, it blew up the Earth, pretty much. They blew up Atlantis, anyway. Atlantis sunk.
It sunk, yeah. I know, for some reason that the whole thing sunk. I can't believe the ocean just rose that much. No,
well,
it fell.
I don't know about that. I mean, you look at the ocean rising now as we speak.
Well, it does, but I mean, a lot of these things you're seeing under, you know, whole underground cities and under the water, and I go, can't all be the ocean? Why did they sink?
Right, right. Why did they sink? I'll continue that in a moment, but right now I got to take one more break to remind our listeners you're listening to WHFR.FM. The station making waves, WHFR, is 89.3 FM. And you're listening to We Are Not Alone. I'm David Twitchell. I'm your host. And our guest today is Cheryl Lynn Carter. She's an author and experiencer and psychic medium. Jack of all trades, wear many hats. So, welcome back. So we're talking...
Yeah.
We're talking about ley lines. Oh, yeah, we're talking about the ocean rising and swallowing Atlantis. You think we'll ever find it?
I don't know. I don't know that people are really looking for it anymore.
No.
I'd like to find it, but I don't think it's a topic anymore.
Well, it's like off and on, you know. They talk about the Bimini Road. You know, underground, or not, underwater.
Right.
And that leads to Atlantis. Who knows? Who knows? You know. But
what's the Bimini Road? Why? What is? What was that? You know, what happened to that?
Yeah.
That is under the ocean. We've seen that.
Right. But have they followed it to Atlantis?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Good question.
Maybe it just ended. Who knows? But, okay, so let's get back to your experiences as to E.T. You saw the craft.
Mm-hmm.
Do you recall consciously any abduction experiences?
Nothing, no.
No?
Just time standing still, no.
Yeah, well, that itself is pretty freaky, huh? Time standing still.
Oh, yeah.
I've had that experience. And you and I are not the only ones. So what do you think about E.T.? Are they benevolent, malevolent, indifferent? What?
I don't think they're malevolent. I don't think they're here to hurt us. That's why I said I think they're here to help us.
In what way?
To teach us things. Well, like I said before, we're afraid we're going to have a nuclear war and blow the Earth up.
Yeah. Yeah, there was this thing in this sighting these children had many years ago in Zimbabwe. Are you familiar with that case?
Mm-hmm. No.
Okay. and Kraft landed near school in Zimbabwe. And the teachers saw it, the kids saw it. They went out and telepathically communicated with these small gray entities that told them pretty much that you're killing your planet. Stop it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And these kids didn't have TVs like you say back then. They didn't have TVs.
Well, and look at what country too. Of course.
Yeah. And so they weren't going by some Twilight Zone episode, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the adults, the teachers, weren't going to verify their story if it was just a kid's imagination.
Right. So, and jeopardize their job, of course not.
Hey, oh, yeah. So, but that happened. So, yeah, it seems like everything from that to Rendlesham Forest to, I could name all kinds of where they shut down our nuclear weapons, Minutemen weapons.
Yes.
Yeah. Letting us know we have the power to stop you from destroying yourself. So knock it off. All right?
Yes. Will we listen, though, is the question.
That's a good question, yeah.
Hope so.
Tell us about some of your other books. Edge of Darkness, is that it?
Yeah, Fear of the Darkness and Edge of Darkness. They're books of short stories. Yeah, they're like Twilight Zone, like Stephen King.
Okay.
Alfred Hitchcock. There's 10 short stories each one. They don't have happy endings like Stephen King now.
They don't have happy endings? Stephen King doesn't have really happy endings. Do you think?
No, that's what I said. My stories don't have happy endings. They're like Stephen King.
Oh, they're like Stephen King. I see.
Oh, yeah. Pretty much. Pretty much.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. So, but that's all fiction, right?
Yes. Yeah. There's like one story in each book that's kind of based on something real.
Okay.
But I won't say which ones they were.
What about Whispers Beyond the Grave?
That was the first book I wrote, and that's when I started telling my story about when I was 4 years old and I saw my first spirit, and I kind of talked about different things. And then the second half of the book, I talked about investigations that I did and spirits that I talked to.
Okay.
So that was all true. That's a true story.
Tell us one story from there.
Okay, right here in Michigan, there's a cemetery called, it's down by Westland, called William Janong Cemetery.
Mm.
And I heard the story of there's a lady in white that comes out of the cemetery and she crosses the road, and cars run off the road at the middle of the night. And I go, yeah, sure there is. So I went down there, and I drove past the cemetery, and I saw it was on a curve, so I turned around, I came out, well, there's trees all around, so as you come around the curve, there's a trailer park on the side, and I thought, oh, somebody's just crossing the street, that's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I went in the cemetery anyway, and I'm walking around, it's kind of a, you got your bottom part, and then there's a real steep hill that you can go up to, like, the older part.
Mm.
So I says, okay, I'm going to walk up the hill. I don't know how they ever got people up there to bury him. It was hard just climbing up that hill.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked around, and all of a sudden, there is this lady in white standing on top of the hill.
Mm.
And I said, oh, she does exist.
Mm.
And I said, well, who are you? Who are you? And something brought me over to this one grave. It was, the stone was laying on the ground. It was broken in half. And it said Sarah Dickinson, and she was 20 years old. And then I started getting a vision that she got married. A month later, her husband went off to the Civil War. She got real sick. I don't know if it was one of those flus going around where you get it and you're dead 24 hours later. But she went to sleep, and she never woke up.
Wow.
Now she told me he went to the Civil War, and she promised he'd wait for her, and he promised he'd come back.
Mm.
Okay, well, I didn't see him buried there because I did some research, and I found out. After the war, he moved to California with his two sisters, so that's probably where he's buried.
Wow.
But she was sitting, she was standing there roaming the cemetery, waiting 165 years for Matthew to come back home. She was stuck there. She didn't know she was dead. This is how I like to help spirits, because she didn't even know she was dead. She's waiting for him. And I had to go there 4 times before I could get her to listen to me. And finally, I had to tell her she was dead. I don't like telling spirits they're dead. Mm. It's kind of a shock to them.
Mm.
Especially children's spirits, you don't want to tell them. You know, it scares them.
Yeah.
But I had to tell her, and then I says, well, I know he is, where he is. You know, he's in heaven. You see that beautiful bridge? There's a bright light. I said, if you go into that bright light, he's over on the other side. And so she finally did go, but this is what I mean. People go to locations and they go, oh, there's a spirit here. Well, and you're taking pictures and stuff. Help the spirit.
Right, right.
You know, this is what I do.
Very good. So is that the only case where you were able to send someone into the light?
No, I went to Waverly Hills one time. I was about 3 days before I went there. A man started talking to me. He says, I have a problem. I need to talk to you about something. And I says, okay. And he says, my wife was very sick with tuberculosis, and she begged me to put her out of her misery, so I put a pillow over her head.
Mm.
And now I know she went to heaven, but where am I going to go? I can't leave, because then I might not be with her. Now that was kind of hard to give him an answer, because I don't know what to tell the guy either. So
he was afraid he was going the other place, right?
Well, he didn't kill her to kill her, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He was helping us. Yeah. And so that's what I told him. So I went to Waverly Hills, and he was down in the death tunnel still waiting for me. And I says, well, I don't think that you did this out of hate. I said, you did this out of love. And I says, I don't think God's going to hate you because you put her out of her misery. I says, I think he forgives you. I says, and when you go, you'll see your wife. And he left.
Hmm.
But see, spirits, they're just, they stay someplace and they want somebody to listen to them and help them.
Mm.
And there's so many of us with abilities that go to these places and they don't do anything to help people.
Right, right. So what about reincarnation? Where do you stand on that and the karma?
Well, I didn't believe in it until it happened to me. Now I'm a believer.
What happened to you?
I was out at... We went out west when I was married. We went out west, and we went to Tombstone, Arizona. Now, this was before you were seeing all this stuff on TV, so I didn't know what the place looked like.
Mm.
And we get out of the car, and as soon as I stood on the road, like everything was whirling around me, you know, that weird feeling again. Things are standing still, and I'm going, what the heck?
Mm-hmm. There we go again.
And I felt like I belonged there. I never been there in my life. I felt like I belonged there. And I go, okay.
Wow.
Where do you want to go? And I says, let's go over there. And I'm pointing to the birdcage. So as we're walking down the walkway, which is all made out of wood, now we're wearing tennis shoes. We're not making noise. I'm hearing boots behind us. There's nobody there.
Mm.
I go, okay, that's weird. So before we get in, I stopped at the door. And I said, okay, so the bar is on the left side. There's a big mirror behind it. On the right side, there's these round tables where they used to play cards. There's a staircase on the side there where they have little rooms where the guys would go up with the girls.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband looked at me and said, what are you talking about? We've never been here. And he opened the door, and everything was just like where I said.
Wow.
And he said, how did you know this? And I said, well, because I used to sing on the stage. And I'm going, you used to do what?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. So then that's when I had a vision of me and two men, and we would take the train around west, and we were like a show that we went around west singing. Mm. And then we would take the stagecoach to different places. It was the craziest thing.
Wow.
You know, so I never believed in this stuff, but, well, that happened to me.
Right, right. So, is it possible going back to this guy that, smothered his wife?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's some karma, good or bad, to pay for in the next life. What do you think? For everyone, not just him, but I mean, for example.
I think we all have karma, and that's sometimes maybe that's why we meet a bad person in our life, because maybe we did something bad.
Right.
And we had to learn a lesson. You know, and some people never learn their lesson. That's why they keep repeating the same mistake over and over.
Yeah.
Because they're not learning. And I said, well, that was your karma. You were supposed to learn this lesson.
Mm.
When you learn that lesson, then you can go on to another one. But if you keep having the same mistake over and over, you're not learning your lesson.
So,
pretty simple, really, when you think about it.
Like that book, Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's not. You just have some karma you have to work through.
Right, that's right. So, okay, so do you have any upcoming speeches or lectures you're going to give, presentations?
In April, I'll be in Thornton, Illinois at the Thornton Distillery. It's a place where Al Capone used to hang out.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to be talking about my book, Dimensions, there.
Okay.
It's part of the Chicago Hauntings Tour.
Yeah, I was in Chicago once, and I was going to take that tour, and I didn't. I think I missed out. You know? What
no,
do you think?
Yeah. Ursula does tours all over, all different places. You get on her bus. It's really fun. Yeah.
Ursula.
She's very good telling the history. You know? She runs Chicago Hauntings Tours.
Oh. So I might
That's
just...
my friend Ursula.
Yeah. I might just go back. Go back to Chicago and take that tour all over again. When is it you're going to be there?
Yeah. In April.
April.
April 25th.
April 25th. You should be in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And once again, what the brewery is? What's the name of the brewery?
It's the Thornton Brewery. It's actually in Thornton, Illinois. It's a suburb of Chicago.
Thornton, Illinois. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then you give a lecture, you give a presentation there, or you give readings, or what?
I'm going to give a presentation about my book, Dimensions.
Very good.
And that at night, if you're one of the people that signed up for the investigation, we're going to investigate the place too.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Because it's said that down in the limestone basement that Al Capone killed some people and buried them in the wall.
Really?
Have
they torn the wall apart to find these people?
No.
Or, oh.
No.
Wow.
No, but I'm gonna go down and see what I feel. I don't know.
Okay. And where can people go to find out more about your work, Cheryl?
Well, I've got a website, CherylLynnCarter.com.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also on Instagram and Twitter. Or you can follow me on Facebook. I always post everything I'm doing on Facebook, too.
Very good. Cheryl Lynn Carter, author of Dimensions and other great works. So I want to thank you very much for joining us today. Hope we can do it again sometime.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And if our listeners have any questions or comments for me, you can email me at dtwitchell@hotmail.com. This show, as well as all the forum shows, is now archived at whfr.fm's website. Click on Talk Shows on the homepage, then Tuesday Forum. We Are Not Alone is also archived at my website, which is ufoimplications.com. So please stay tuned to whfr.fm, the station making waves, for the best in alternative programming. I want to thank you for joining us today. Please join us again the first Tuesday of each month at 12 noon, when we will again explore the mysteries of the UFO phenomenon. So until then, this is David Twitchell, reminding you to keep an eye on the sky.
Thank you.